Thanks for listening to the best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to the best of the Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
The Milwaukee Bucks, who, man, they got bounced in embarrassing fashion from the playoffs in the bubble a few months ago, but they are doing everything they can to win a championship and, even more importantly, to keep Giannis Antetokounmpo in Milwaukee. So they made a trade. They made trade signings. They acquired, let's put it that way, Drew Holiday. Very nice point guard, made an all-star team, one of the best defensive guards in the league. They got him from New Orleans.
He's a good player. I like
very
him.
Good. Very good.
He's a good player.
Yep. And then they also brought Bogdan Bogdanovic
Gesundheit.
From Sacramento. He can play. Nice player, can shoot it, got nice moves off the bounce, can create his own shot. And I like the moves. And there are rumblings, Rob, that Giannis is going to re-sign with Milwaukee. Now, some think it could be, you know, he's kind of in a wink-wink with Milwaukee. Like, look, I'll re-sign, and, you know, if things go awry at some point, you know, we can maybe agree to a trade.
He could always force his way out. If right, he could. I mean,
yeah, I mean, you get the most money that way. You take away, you know, the doubt in the franchise. Here's my take, Rob. And look, you know, I always say this because it's really about you and being happy. If Giannis, who has always said he likes Milwaukee, wants to stay there, if he really wants to stay and feels like the team is good, you know, very good and going in the right direction, whether they win it this year or not, then by all means, sign and stay and be happy, and I will applaud you. But if this is a basketball move and you are still iffy because you don't know if you've got enough help to win a championship and that's something really on your mind, then I think you don't need to sign. Like, this move is not blockbuster enough to make people think you're the favorites in the East. Brooklyn on paper, even without James Harden, is still the best team on paper.
So the Clippers were too last year. So
what? No, I'm just saying. Though, this isn't like you added Kawhi Leonard, you know, or somebody like yourself.
I'm just saying, right, right. But that shouldn't deter him, right.
No, but I'm just saying, like, this doesn't seal it for me that, oh, we're going to win a championship. If not this year, then next year. We're there. We're you know, that good. So I say play it out and see what happens. See how the fit is. See how successful you are. And make a decision next offseason. This hogwash about, oh, it'll be a distraction. It won't. LeBron's played 2 years, Cleveland, Miami, on the last year of his deal, and it hasn't become a huge distraction. You know, Kawhi won a championship in his last year on the deal in Toronto. So what you do, as long as you go out there, play ball, play your tail off, make it clear by your play and your words that you're all in. I'm about winning a ring now. I'm not thinking about next year. I love my teammates. I love Milwaukee. I'm about winning this year's title. If you do that, it won't be a distraction, and then you can make your decision up after the season. That's my opinion on it, Rob.
Giannis is my new favorite player in the NBA. Thank you, Giannis.
For what?
Thank you. If this
has
is
he signed?
If this is no, I'm just saying if this comes through, well, I'm just sending you a story, matter of fact, as we speak. It's just saying that through reports that it's going to be a 5-year deal for $230 million. This is Mark Stein, something
right.
Mark Stein
so
put out.
Reputable.
Okay. Okay, right. I'm just saying, that's all. But I'm saying to you, Chris,
you're saying if he signs.
Yeah, like if he signs okay. And he stays, I'm saying he will become my favorite player. Only from this standpoint, you don't have to do what everybody else is doing, and that's fine. if you're happy, you can win. Like you know, to cut and run is just too easy. That's what everybody's doing. That's like the trendy. That's what the cool kids do now. But if he was decide that he's just going to build his own thing and was able to build and bring a championship, one, Chris, or two, to Milwaukee and built around him and the pieces, and he put in his blood, sweat, and tears. He was taken care of financially. It's not like he's taking a hometown discount to stay in Milwaukee to go bowling and drink beer. That's not what this is. He's being paid handsomely. He was drafted there. They've treated him well. He's won back-to-back MVPs playing there in that uniform. He's comfortable. Fine. And that's all I'm saying. I'm not saying everybody can do what else they want to do, Chris, but the NBA, the way it's set up now and what's going on, is just not fan-friendly. It's just like if you're not in one of the marquee cities, I feel bad for fans because you're not going to be in the mix. No one wants to go here. No one wants to go to Charlotte.
I don't think
No one wants to go there. But
honestly, Rob, I hear you on the other stuff, and that's fair and good. But to say that everybody just wants to go to the big markets, I don't think that's accurate. We could go back a few years and say LeBron went to Cleveland. Westbrook went to OKC or stayed in OKC. Paul George picked OKC over L.A. So that's not, you know, I can't say that everybody's leaving the small markets.
No, but I'm saying, but if you're a small market like Milwaukee or whatever, trying to hold on to your guys, LeBron was from Cleveland. If LeBron wasn't from Akron, Chris, and drafted there, he wouldn't have gone back there. I'm just saying, well, there's a lot of cities.
Maybe
to
not,
me.
But he still didn't have to go back.
His hometown, and I thought he felt like he didn't want to be public enemy for his whole life. You know what I mean? Where you can't ever go back or people look at you weird. Anyway, my point is, I love it. If Giannis is happy and he wants to build this thing in Milwaukee, I know Chicago's a big city, and I'm not saying he's Michael Jordan, but when Michael Jordan went to Chicago and nobody met him at the airport and the Bulls were a horrible organization, and after his years were up, and they still didn't win his first 7 years, Chris, he could have said, you know what, this is for the birds, I'm out of here. It was a different time, a different mindset, for sure. There's no doubt about it. But he worked his way through it, and he decided that he was going to put a stamp on where he was drafted and make it work. And if Giannis does this, like you say, after the moves they made, which weren't blockbuster, they were really good players.
They made them
they
better.
Are, but they yep. aren't blockbuster. They are better on paper.
Right.
I just commend the guy for saying, I want to do my own thing, and I'm not following the popular kids.
I agree with that, but here's what I'd say. If he doesn't win a ring, I think Rob Parker will be in the front of the line screaming about how he wasn't good enough. He couldn't
not
get
true.
It done. And I said this about
I don't say
Durant,
that about Charles Barkley.
When Durant went to Golden State, I was one of the few that didn't kill him. And here's the reason I said it. Didn't kill him. Because I said, all these people killing Durant, oh, it's weak, he's weak, he's feeble, blah, blah, blah. As soon as he wins the championship, which he will, and wins the finals MVP, which he will, those same people will be praising him. So if it was weak, how's he getting the praise?
But you know what? What you're not being honest with or legit is that his star will never, and we've heard other people talk about it, like Clyde Frazier and different NBA players, it'll always be a tick under, Chris. He'll never get that full credit because he joined the Warriors. And that's not to say he's not a great player, but nobody will sit back and go, oh, that Kevin Durant, oh, my God. Did you see what he did with the Warriors? He'll never get full credit.
Well,
he'll always be a step under like those superstars, and they'll always point to that, especially if he never wins again. Especially
it's
if
like
he never
you
wins
and
again.
I always say, this is where it'll come up. When you are debating all-time greats, we always say it, what? You nitpick. And that'll be a nitpick.
That'll be
pick.
His nitpick because right, he's a hell of a player.
Right. Now, he'll be better than, I mean, he's a top 15 player. And he'll get his love. But when you compare him to even a Kobe who got, of course, had Shaq, but his last two championships, you know, he was there. He struggled through it and he got Gasol and, you know, so those you're right about that. But, you know, I just think if there's no guarantee Giannis is going to win a title.
No, not at all. Not at all.
And I fully respect. I like Iverson. Allen Iverson was like, look, I love Philly.
Right.
I
want to
stay here. I don't
right.
want to leave. I want to win a championship as bad as anyone. But if we don't get it, I'm cool fighting for it here in Philly.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
We got to move, believe it or not, to some baseball.
Yes, sir.
Because our resident baseball expert, or so-called expert, I should say, he's got a hot take that you think could really change history. Let's say it's history making. How about that?
Yes.
And go ahead and share.
Well, Chris, the 2021 Baseball Hall of Fame ballot was released yesterday, right? And for the first time in like 7 years, there is, Chris, no shoe-in guy. And what I mean by that, when Mariano Rivera was on the ballot, right?
Right.
And Derek Jeter, you knew those guys were getting in.
But they wouldn't be unanimous.
Huh? Yeah.
But they wouldn't be unanimous.
Right. I'm just saying.
I know.
Right. Jeter missed it by one.
Right.
But my point is, there is nobody like that on the list. Like,
is
of
there
the new...
a limit to how
no,
many
no.
can go in 1 year?
No.
Okay.
But you only have 10
and
votes.
And there's no minimum, of course.
Right.
Right.
There have been years where there have been none, Chris. Right.
Right.
So. Okay. It's not based off of that. But my point is, like, some of the names, Torrey Hunter, Barry Zito, these are all first-time people who are Mark Burley, Tim Hudson. Chris, they were all good players, right? But they're not Hall of Famers.
Right.
Okay? They're not Hall of Famers.
Right.
So, to me, this is the year. This is year 9 for Clemens and for Bonds. This should be the year, Chris. Put those guys in together because they're attached by the hip, aren't they? They really are.
They are.
Both great players who would be first ballot Hall of Famers if it wasn't for the PEDs and the juice, even though they never tested positive. They were never suspended during their MLB career, anything.
Right.
But most people believe that they were involved in the scandal that rocked baseball. I think that this is the perfect scenario and situation. And remember, they only have 10 years, Chris. If it's not this year, they'd have one more year. And I think this is the year.
Though, Rob. Here's what I'm going to throw at you. And you are a voter. Why? I get what you're saying about there's no, you know, none of the new guys are obvious Hall of Famers. Or maybe even Hall of Famers, period.
Right.
But how's that going to change things for Bonds and Clemens? That's why I was trying to clarify with you. It's not like I gotta put somebody in.
No.
It's not like I can only put in 3 guys. So, you know, if there was a Rivera or a Jeter, that was gonna take a spot from Bonds or Clemens, like, what do you think's going to change in the minds of these voters? And I know you vote for these two.
Right.
But what about all the guys that don't? Because they were at, what, 61% last year?
61%. But here's the thing,
you
got to
get
Chris,
75%.
And I'm glad you said that, because what we've seen the last couple of years is that guys have been getting in on their 10th try. Do you know what I mean? Like, people who haven't been voted for, I cited in the column on Deadspin, Larry Walker, Chris, in his 10th year, between his 9th and 10th, he went from 54% to 76%.
Yeah,
between and 9 and
right.
10.
And that's kind of cheap.
Of course it is.
Larry Walker, we know he was nice up there.
He wasn't a Hall of Famer. He didn't get my vote.
Yeah, but let's do your point. If you're 54% in your 9th year.
Yes.
Really? Now you make it in your 10th? It just... It smacks of a little bit of, it seems a little bit cheap.
Chris, he went from 54.6 to 76.6. So he 20 points.
Are Bonds and Clemens rising every year?
Yes, they have not gone
every
down.
Year.
That's the thing. Like they're going in the right direction. And let me give you the other guy who's on the ballot too, like Sammy Sosa. Sammy Sosa, Chris, is only getting 13.6% of the vote. He only got 55 votes. He's in year 9 with Bonds and Clemens. You see what I'm saying?
He's not getting in.
So he's not getting in. He's at 55 votes. And you need 75% of the 415 votes or whatever it is. And that's why I'm saying, but if you're going to, instead of waiting for their final year to give Bonds and Clemens, put them in together in a year where you're not taking away votes from other Hall of Famers. Do you see what I'm saying? Like you could justify, like, I'm not, like, there's nobody else to vote for.
Well, you get 10 though, right?
Yeah, but you don't have to use all 10. I don't use all 10.
Even if there were 3 guys that are definite Hall of Famers, I don't think that should affect Bonds and Clemens. Here's the thing, though. You sound like you think it's automatic. Well, not automatic, but you think they're getting in at the very least in the 10th year.
I do. I absolutely do. Only because
obviously, I wonder. I mean, you know more baseball writers than I do as far as being close to them, but clearly the reason these two aren't in, we all know, it's their association with PEDs. So it's not like they're borderline guys like a Larry Walker or guys that really aren't quite Hall of Famers, but guys throw them in their last year. You think writers are punishing them?
Yes.
Is that what
this is a punishment to make them wait. Not that they're not. And here's the other thing, Chris. Jeff Bagwell got in I think he had to wait 7 years. Jeff Bagwell, his name was always in rumors about steroid use. Piazza got in. And Pudge Rodriguez, who was in the Canseco book. Canseco said he wrote, Chris, and that book has turned out to be what?
Right.
Gospel.
Yep.
He wrote that he used to stick Pudge with the needle. He said he did it.
Yep.
So all I'm saying is if you're a baseball writer and you voted for Pudge, And you voted for Piazza, and you voted for Bagwell, dude, you can't, if you told me nobody, Chris, under suspicion were in the Hall of Fame, then I'd have to respect their vote. But you're telling me that guys who will have a questionable situation or you know, career are in. So this has to be, to me, just the ultimate punishment. Make them wait. And then ultimately at the 10th year, Chris, you go, you know what? This wouldn't be a Hall of Fame without those two guys. Most of the people alive on this planet right now or in this country, Chris, will look at Roger Clemens and say, he's the best right-handed pitcher I ever saw.
Right.
And Barry Bonds, you say it. Skip Bayless says it. I say it. Most people, Barry Bonds, the best player you saw. Am I right?
No question. Here, to me, the best argument for these two is this, Rob. Let's just keep it real. And again, you know a lot of these baseball writers. And we know how protective they are of history.
Yes.
And
more so than any other sport,
so than any other sport. But here's where, to me, they willingly turn a blind eye. And I'm relying a lot on what, you know, the former pitcher Tom House said, who pitched in the 60s and 70s.
Yep.
And he said in USA Today, guys in the 60s, 70s, and on up were using anything they could get their hands on. Steroids, all types
Greenies.
Of stuff. Yeah, well, we know Greenies used to be in the clubhouse.
They were stimulus like a bowl of M&Ms, Chris.
Right. And all the guys would pick, you know, as you're walking out to the to the field from the clubhouse.
Pick up a handful.
You pick up a handful and you take them. Those are banned substances today. Amphetamines, right?
Yes.
So if we know, who knows who? I mean, for all we know, Hank Aaron, right? I mean, not to take anything from him.
No, but
he
you
played
just, you
today.
Don't
he
know.
Probably was taking Greenies. Like, everybody was doing it. It was no big deal. And so if we know that was going on in the 60s, 70s, 80s, then how can we punish these guys who, at that time, it wasn't even illegal?
Here's another thing. You ready? You know, we remember the Mitchell Report came out. Chris, on the Mitchell Report, there were 89 players who either admitted to PED use or were rumored to, you know, like they're listed.
They were caught or whatever, right.
Right, they were listed. 89 players. Some of those guys could be, their names are not going to be released. Some of those guys could be in the Hall of Fame already, is right. My point. Right. It ain't like this is just Bonds and Clemens. We need to get off of that. Here's the other thing that people are wrong when they talk about Bonds. Chris, he only hit over 50 home runs once. That was the year he hit 73. I get it. It's a big number.
Amazing. Yeah.
But that's right. Most people think he hit 50 every year.
Right.
And here's the other thing.
He had 73. It's the only year he was over 50.
Over 50.
But I do think he was using during those 49, 46.
No, I'm not saying. I'm just saying, like, but people think.
5-year period or whatever.
But people think that was, he started using it and then he was hitting 50 or 60 home runs a year,
right,
I'm saying,
right,
is like the mindset. And the other thing is, more pitchers have been busted using the juice, Chris, than hitters. So when Bonds was up there at the plate and Andy Pettit, who got busted, and Clemens and all these other guys, he was probably facing guys on the juice as well.
Oh,
let's
there's
not
no doubt.
Act like it's just hitters.
Right. But it look, I get why people want to protect. You never want to reward cheaters, right? It's just you don't want to reward cheaters, right? I get it. But the fact is, like you said, we don't know who was doing it. It was pitchers. It was hitters. You kind of just got to bite the bullet and, you know, respect that error for what it was. And I think put those guys, especially if they weren't caught. It's one thing if they were like a Manny Ramirez or something. You know what I mean? It's one, like, I think Manny's a Hall of Famer.
Right, but Manny, here's what hurts Manny, Chris, and why I won't vote for him. Manny got busted two times after they put the new rules in.
Right.
See, Bonds and Clemens, this is before they said, you can't use that stuff. That's why I think it's unfair to
right.
them.
What, it's just like what I said was in the 70s and 80s.
Right.
It wasn't elite. They weren't going against any rules.
Right, there were no rules in place.
Yeah, they weren't going against any rules. And you can blame baseball for not having the rules if you want, but the fact is they weren't going against any rules. They weren't breaking rules. So I hear you. I mean, let's just keep it real, Rob. It ain't a Hall of Fame without Bonds and Clemens.
I totally agree.
It's not. At least Pete Rose, we can say, well, he was, you know, cheating, you know, betting on games.
And Chris, that messes with the integrity. You notice you covered the Indians, right? When you walk into that clubhouse, what's the biggest sign you see in there? It's about gambling on the sport. Am
right.
I right?
Right.
And it says you'll right. be banned from the game if they catch you.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
And the Milwaukee Bucks obviously doing everything in their power to keep him in Milwaukee. They're trying to win a championship as well. That's certainly what he's trying to do as, you know, one of the top 3, 4, 5 players in the league. And they made acquisitions late last night of Drew Holiday, the versatile point guard from New Orleans.
Who's a good player. I like it.
He is a good player. You know what? He reminds me. He's not as good. Chauncey made, 5 all-star teams, I think, is a borderline Hall of Famer. But, Rob, he kind of reminds me of Chauncey Billups. Do you see any of that? I mean, high character.
Right.
Solid leader. Not as good a leader as Chauncey.
Yeah, because Chauncey was a huge leader, and
right.
he took over that team, Chris, and people believed in him. You don't get a nickname Mr. Big Shot without having some confidence about you. You know what I mean? And Chauncey wasn't afraid to take the big shot. He made a lot of big shots for the Pistons. He changed that organization. He had bounced around, Chris.
He was
remember,
a bust.
Joe Dumars put together misfits and guys.
Yep.
Who, Michael
Ben
Jordan
Wallace.
Didn't want Rip Hamilton.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Ben Wallace wasn't drafted. Rasheed Wallace had been traded, bounced around
Portland, Atlanta.
To Atlanta, and then came to Detroit, and it all worked out. But you're right, a little bit about that. I agree with that.
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit.
Not as good as Chauncey, but a little bit. And then they added Bogdan Bogdanovic from Sacramento, who's a nice player. He averaged about 15 points last year. He can shoot it. He can get it off the bounce. I think that those are good additions. Now, Rob, if they struggle, if Giannis struggles or gets, he's got to improve. I mean, when do you ever say if LeBron struggles or if KD struggles or if Kawhi struggles? You know what? Because they really don't. They get theirs, right? That's generally what the superstars do is they get theirs. But that's where Giannis has to improve. He's got to be able to deliver every night in the playoffs. But if he is having a bad night or whatever, you do now have three guys. You had Chris Middleton. Now you can go to Bogdanovich a bit and certainly go to Drew Holiday. So I think it makes them better. But the big news is that there are rumblings. There are nothing official yet. But there are rumblings that Giannis is going to sign the 5-year Supermax deal to stay in Milwaukee. Now, I'm going to say this, Rob.
5 years, $230 million.
Right. The other thing is this, and that may be the deal because that's the max he can sign. Remember what LeBron did. LeBron signed, I believe, a 3-year deal in Cleveland. He could have signed for 4 or 5 years, but he only signed up for 3 to keep his options open. That was his first run with the Cavs. And that was his first big deal there, I believe, after his rookie contract. So, I mean, that's something if Giannis wanted to say, look, I'll give him 3 years, right? You know, that would be fair. I'm going to give us 3 years to win it here. And if we don't, then, you know, I'll be looking to go elsewhere. But whatever the case, there's a lot of talk and signs that he's going to stay in Milwaukee, at least for the time being. What are your thoughts on that?
I'm good with it. You know, obviously, we're taking out him making a decision. Obviously, he's going to do whatever he wants to do that's best for him and his loved ones. But I'm just, right. I love the idea that he's going to give it a go in Milwaukee. That's who drafted him. It ain't just about pointing fingers and saying, well, I don't have any help or I don't have enough teammates, because part of the problem in the postseason has been Giannis, Chris.
No, there's no doubt. There's been no Giannis. Denying. And honestly, to your point, well, go ahead. I'll play off of it in a minute.
But it ain't running and hiding. If you don't fix what you need to fix, Chris, no matter where you go, it might not work out.
Right.
That has to be fixed. A move, a mid-range jumper, whatever it is, something that they can depend on to get so that teams don't do what they've done in the playoffs. The regular season, he had back-to-back MVPs. He's as good as it gets. Last year was better than the year before, Chris. You know, but the regular season is different than the playoffs. We all know that's a different game. So I love it. I think this is the anti-LeBron league about trying to just, you know, I've always said this. If LeBron never left Cleveland, I'm not so sure we would be in this NBA. I've always said LeBron, you know, ruined the NBA. And it just opened people's eyes to the idea of maybe moving around. And then it wound up stinging LeBron for a number of years because Kevin Durant followed his lead and went to the team, you know what I mean, that LeBron probably would have had a chance, Chris, a couple times, right, to beat them.
That's a great point. Like, I mean, look, obviously so many things could happen. Your point is, I obviously don't agree with you that when you say LeBron ruined the NBA. But there's no doubt. I have no doubt. Obviously, we don't know for sure. But I believe with every fiber of my being that if LeBron did not go to Miami from Cleveland to join with Wade and Bosh, that all of this movement would not be taking place. And all of this desired movement, all of this, you know, finagling rosters by players. I don't think it would have ever entered Kevin Durant's mind.
I agree.
To Golden State.
I think he'd have stayed at OKC and grinded it out, Chris.
Right. That's what you did, right? And I'm not blaming LeBron. Look, I like player empowerment. I like players having the freedom to do what they want. LeBron, say what you want about him, Rob, but you know this. Other guys have ruined seasons. When Carmelo left Denver, he ruined his last season there. It was just a mess because, you know, he wasn't playing and there was all the speculation and this and that. LeBron played out his contract, never forced a trade, tried to win championships last year in Cleveland, last year in Miami. And then once you're free, like when you and I are free from our contract, we can go wherever we want.
Right.
So I'm fine with it. But there's, again, you're right. Like, I don't think, let's keep it real. If Durant, I don't think he goes to Golden State. I don't think Harden, with 3 years left on your deal, is he pushing his way out of Houston? I'm not trying to put all this on LeBron, but, you know, like, it's just become a domino effect.
I agree. And it's not like, this is the only thing that I think. Players have moved around before, okay? So this is not free. LeBron didn't start free agency.
And let's keep it real. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar forced his way out of Milwaukee.
And don't forget, if
to
it
LA,
wasn't
to the Lakers.
And if it wasn't for the policy that spouses couldn't fly on the team plane in Orlando, Tim Duncan, Grant
right.
Hill, and Tracy McGrady
right.
might have all been together.
Right. Because Tracy
free
and Grant were.
Exactly.
Grant just wasn't healthy. But yeah. That would have been, you're right, that would have been the every bit the equivalent of Wade,
right,
LeBron,
those would have been
Bosch.
Three
no
teams,
question.
Three franchises, Chris, that would have been ruined, and I'm talking about losing their star player. They all joined up to the Orlando Magic. And supposedly that
Detroit,
was the reason
Toronto,
that Tim...
and San Antonio, right.
Right? That Tim Duncan didn't want to go. It's because his wife couldn't fly with the team.
Right. No, right. And remember also, Jason Kidd, when he was in Jersey, almost went to San Antonio to play with Duncan. So guys have teamed up before. And, I mean, we talked about it, Barkley, Pippen, and Olajuwon in Houston.
Right.
So it's happened, but it's on,
but
I think,
is,
the, this is on another level.
At 100%. This is totally, like those guys, I don't think they were going, well, you know, I think they wanted to play together or they were friendly. And at that time, Orlando, if I remember, Chris, they had all the cap room. You know what I mean? Like these guys
right.
were available.
Right.
And it wasn't like, you know, they could sign all three and fit them. It was a unique situation.
Yeah, it's a different world. And what I was going to say when you mentioned something earlier about Giannis.
About him getting better?
Oh, yeah. About him recognizing that he's part of the problem, too, as great as he is. I love Harden. I've thought he should have won the MVP in 2015. Steph won it. Yeah. First ballot Hall of Fame, iconic. Same thing for Westbrook. But you know what? When you read that they don't think there's a path in Houston to win it, and you know, they just wondering, you know, is their window closing to win championships? Can you look in the mirror?
Right.
I mean, you got two first ballot Hall of Famers still in their prime. And you got a nice cast of role players. P.J. Tucker, Eric Gordon, Robert Covington, who they just traded for Trevor Ariza to Portland. You know, like, and I know they were small. They used to be bigger. They tried to go small. But my point is this, Rob. If I got two first ballot Hall of Famers and I got a nice group of role players and we can't
win
it.
You got enough.
It's on us.
Right. I agree. This ain't no one and you got nobody else.
Right.
You got two stars, Hall of Famers, and you're looking elsewhere.
Right.
That's what you've agreed with me on this. I think LeBron, when he left Cleveland the first time, sold himself short. I think he
right.
would have won, Chris, in Cleveland, and the right pieces would
have
happened, and
that.
he would have matured. Do you know what I mean? And learned how to fight through it. I do believe that.
But at least he didn't have another star like
no.
Westbrook's Harden's got Westbrook. But yeah, you're right. We talked about that. And look, I think both of us feel like Houston ain't winning a championship with Harden and Westbrook. They're not. Okay, we get that. But that's Harden and Westbrook's fault. As great as they are, it's their fault. And like you said, it's not one superstar stuck somewhere with
right.
a bunch of role players. And he's got no help. It's their – and I could blame – if I blamed Houston, and I said this at the time, this is not second guessing, I never liked the Westbrook trade for Chris Paul. because they were close with Chris Paul. I think Chris Paul just fits better with Harden. And whose fault was that Chris Paul wasn't happy? Him and Harden fell out. You know? So it's a unique situation that, as we said earlier, we're getting, you know, you're getting all types of conflicting reports that Houston's not in a rush, that the Nets think they got a deal in principle, or they do have a deal in principle, which, you know, seems a bit odd. But
it seems premature for me. I couldn't wrap my hands around it, because if he goes, I want to go to the Nets, and Houston buckles 36 hours later, Chris?
Right.
Really?
Absolutely.
And he has a 3-year contract?
Raphael Stone would be fired the next day.
Oh, that would be unbelievable.